The At Your Instep podcast is brought to you in part by Empire Cards. Check them out at www.empirecards.com.
Hello, and welcome to At Your Instep. My name is Morgan, and I'm joined by Jordan.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Dave.
What's going on?
Mike.
Hello.
And we actually have a special guest. Two-time Legacy champion, Riley Curran.
Hello, everyone.
And thank you for coming here and enjoying us. We're actually in Dave's new digs, by the way, so if it sounds a little echoey, it's because there's no shit here, just us.
There's a few boxes.
But it's very nice. Congratulations.
You knew you're
Thanks. Welcome to home ownership.
Thanks.
I will be joining you shortly. So we have a very
I
exciting...
Won't. You also know you're a straight degenerate when the first thing you do in your brand new house is podcast.
Yeah, record a podcast.
Like, oh, and, hey, hope to cube afterwards.
It's because I love you guys.
He closed on his house 12 hours ago and was like, who wants the podcast here?
And then cube. So we obviously have a pretty exciting episode. There's a lot of events that happened over the weekend in various places around the world. Also, some exciting announcements that happened in the community, specifically with competitive topics as well. So we'll definitely get into those. And also, we have conspiracy to talk about a little bit because we're all cube enthusiasts here, and there's some exciting cards that have never been. Riley does the handshake as to say so-so, but he's a dirty liar.
Every guest seems to think that the guests can see our hand motions. Or every guest seems to think the listeners can see our hand
the
motions.
The guests actually, in fact, can see their own hand motions. No,
the guests seem to think that the visitors can see their hand motions.
Well, that's why...
The visitors?
You're supposed to leave it to the imagination, let them do their own hand motions and see if it matches up with ours.
They're always crude gestures, unfortunately.
Always, 100% of the time. And then we have some sort of end cap stuff that we want to talk about here. But first, let's go ahead and we'll talk about our community. So the first thing I think that's probably the most important to talk about is the GP buy system updates. The Space Jam buy system updates. So they're actually turning from a seasonal threshold to more of a yearly threshold at this point in time.
More of a yearly. It is a yearly.
It is a...
Not more of a
yearly. More or less. some would say.
So another interesting change is that through Planeswalker points, there's no way that you can actually get three buys anymore. You can only do so through, like, what is it, getting gold in the Players Club?
Gold or platinum.
In the pro. Yeah, in the pro club. So, very interesting change. So basically it's from May 2013 through June 1st. Is the season that they're actually counting.
Yeah, right now. But then, like, the next one is awkwardly not a full year. It's, like, August through June.
Right. It's never... I don't think it's ever, like, a full whole year. But, you know, it's as close as they can get season-wise.
Yeah, the way the threshold works, I'm not going to... Because of this, the way the season worked out, I'm not going to have two buys for Chicago. But I'll have two buys for the whole next year.
Right, exactly.
Well, I have zero buys for Chicago and two buys for the next year.
I don't think I have any buys. I would have any buys for Chicago, but I have one buy throughout the next year. So I'm like the worst off of the three of us.
Is our buys for Chicago going to be the same as they were for Richmond?
No.
That's two seasons ago.
Because this season just ended. As of yesterday.
So I'm in the same boat. I have zero for this one, and then two for
like
the next
I was awkwardly
year.
Sitting at like 700 points, and just had no, I couldn't go play any events this weekend.
Yeah,
so.
That's weird.
Unlike Riley here, couldn't get more of those points.
Yeah, I actually think I'm going to have one buy, but for the two previous seasons, I was 40 short of three buys. So I think I got two locked up for next year. I think we're good.
All right. Well, that's good. So yeah, and this actually goes into effect August 30th, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or wait, is that
the end of August?
I thought it was the beginning. It's end? Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's
August 30th.
Yeah, August 30th through May of next year.
So definitely check your Planeswalker points. You know, if you have, I think the threshold for one buy is like 1350. The threshold for two buys is like 2250.
Yeah, it's 1300 and 2250.
Yeah.
This definitely rewards the casual competitive player.
Yeah. I was really disappointed because... due to my schedule change, I really couldn't go out and play FNM, but I know for a fact that if I was able to play FNM on a consistent basis, that I'd have two buys, like, no problem.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, my work schedule, I have to work till 8:30 now.
Right. Well, I didn't want a PTQ, so I didn't get 1,000 points.
Yeah, they are limiting that as well.
You don't get
really?
That anymore.
Yeah, they've eliminated because the whole point was that you couldn't play any more PTQs in the season. So they gave you the 1,000 points, but now it doesn't matter. So I don't know if that means you're allowed to keep playing in them for points or what it is.
Well, you get a lot less. lose lawless points than needed in the system for planeswalker points. So
right,
you probably
but you still turned out of events for a whole season.
What's that? Yeah, you. I would
granted,
assume you're still
the season's
out of,
a lot shorter, but
I would assume
they,
you're out of PTQ still. Yeah. It's just unfortunate, but not really.
Right.
If you think about how many points you're going to rack up winning a PTQ in and of itself, it's probably enough.
Yeah, so. I mean, the 37 one in West Virginia, I mean, they racked up all the points.
All them points.
It was six rounds?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Disgusting, actually.
Now, something that people have been like kind of talking about is this: does this give gold, platinum level pros that do within those GPs sort of an unfair advantage since they are the only ones now that can get three buys? And I've heard a lot of argument on either sides of the fence saying that like the actual gold and platinum level pros that actually attend these GPs isn't really enough of an impact. But I don't know. Like, it could be something.
I don't know if that's such an issue, but what the thing I have heard a lot of people complaining about, I mean, local grinders complaining about, is that now it's much harder to go from grinder to silver than to gold. Because like now you don't have that extra like the buy threshold is harder, like there is no threshold, so like it hurts the whole people like the whole group of people grinding, like so like they, I don't know if it's a slap in the face to those people, but like Wizards just doesn't care.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward, you know. Now they have I saw one tweet that's like, oh, now you have a broken pro player system and a broken planeswalker point system. Congratulations.
So what's the goal then? What is to be gained from this then? If we think it's bad for the casual competitive, I mean, it's obviously good for established pros. But outside of that, what's there to gain?
It's the thing they've been saying all along, is that they want less buys at events.
Sure.
And then, but also, if they're a year-long thing, then it's also easier to manage the system as a whole. And that's the whole idea.
So you just think cutting out the three buys from GPTs wasn't enough, raising the points wasn't enough, so they just go to the next logical thing.
Now when you have 2,500 people showing up to
GPTs, right, sure.
Yeah, I mean, this works out better for somebody like myself, because, like I said, my schedule, I don't get to play in as many events as I would like. So... you know, this at least gives me a chance to have at least one buy for the next year versus zero every time I go to a GP. So
it's true. Yeah, but it's definitely an interesting change. It's kind of going to be exciting to see how it shakes out and like what happens. Like, will this, you know, affect day two of GPs a lot from like what we see, who gets to come back and everything like that. So it'll certainly be interesting to see.
So I had kind of a funny story about this. So they put up this announcement, I think
it was last week,
last Thursday.
Yeah.
And the last day that you could actually accumulate points
right.
for your previous
real.
Year was Sunday.
It was really shitty. I was like, oh, okay, well, then I'm just fucked. All right, good. Good to know. Great.
Right. So when they announced this, I was just like, I haven't even checked my Planeswalker points in I don't know how long. So I'm like, oh, let me see. Because I knew that I got the 1,000 from when I won the PTQ last year. So I'm like, oh, let's see where I am. So I was at 2,233, which is 17 points shy of the second buy for the next year. And I'm like, oh. And I wasn't planning on going to any events, so I'm like, oh, that sucks, you know. And then it turns out I was able to play in a Saturday evening standard event. And even then, I'm like, even if I XO this tournament, I don't think I'm going to get enough points.
Right.
You know, but it actually turned out to be, this was at Fog of Dusk, and it turned out to be, I guess, a higher turnout than normal. So it was five rounds. I managed to go 5-0. So I got 15 points there, and I got 2 participation points for the exact seas, 2250.
Tell me you refused the split, like you no-sir the split, because you needed the points.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, it was really funny, because you didn't have a chance to split, because people drew.
Yeah,
so
I was the only
extra draw bracket.
Yeah, I was only 4-0
and
going into round 5.
Me and Dave played round 4, because we were the only undefeateds without draws, and he beat me, so...
I just like the idea of like you looking at some random who's like a local standard event, just be like, "Well, I haven't done this well before. Can we draw?" And you'd be like, "No, I need 3 planeswalker points, bitch."
So if you miss that, you actually just have to beg James to fire a draft.
Please fire
an 8-man.
The contingency plan was there was a GPT on Sunday, and then I was just going to show up, play one round, and then drop for like the 2 or 3 points or whatever it was.
Right,
so
but
this way I didn't have to spend $10.
I would love
to
like those points by like playing commander and like getting open casual play like 1 or 2 points.
Oh man, but yeah, so congratulations, Dave.
Thanks. Now I just have to
you
find some GPs
you
to actually
right
go
into
to.
Two buys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So the other thing that's exciting that's going to be coming out is Conspiracy. So we actually got the spool spoiler.
Conspiracy.
The full spoiler for it. And we won't talk a whole lot about it. We're all excited about it. We're probably going to try to draft it as soon as we can. But there are some exciting reprints that weren't announced during the sneak previews as they were. Anyone want to start off with something they're excited about seeing again?
First off, hold on. I think I just wanted to say this. I think Wizards was trolling us the whole time because
oh, yeah.
there was a little bit of controversy with this, I would say, because I guess on Twitter they said that the spoiler was going to be out. The spoiler just came out today, which is June 2nd, and they said it was going to come out last week, and it didn't. So for a week, people were just kind of like, oh, when's the spoiler going to come out? You know, there's no word about it. And I'm convinced that they had it hidden somewhere on the website.
And no one found it.
And nobody found it. Just because, like, if you look at all the initial, like, marketing for it, about how they had all these secret codes on the back of, you know, they had the random angel that showed up in packs, and it's just like, I would not be shocked if we find out later that they had it hidden somewhere on the website or something like that, and it was out there all along. But anyway, but now it's there for everybody to see.
Right, exactly. So who wants to talk about a card?
I went through the whole thing, like the whole spoiler when it came out, and honestly, I assumed like when they showed off Route and Exploration, like and Misdirection, I was like, oh sweet, here are the reprints they were really going for. And, like even Route, you wouldn't think so, but like Route, the foil is like $40, like the pack foil is. So it's like, oh, okay. And I'm going through this, and I'm like, wait, Stifle? Like,
yeah.
Oh man, like yeah. they just like literally like, threw it in there. Didn't he write an article about bringing Stifle back? They're just like, oh. Here's Stifle.
Just going to leave this here.
With terrible art, I might add.
It's what, a $60 card?
Yeah, I mean, that's the Judge Foil art.
Yeah, I think Stifle is a pretty foil for Stifle.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, that art's just the Judge Foil art, I guess. So
fine.
I'm just used to it. Riley would know about it since he probably sees a lot of those.
I've been stone-ringed many times for one mana.
Oh, man. Brutal. I think that's cool. That's Pernicious Deed is getting reprinted here. I know that's a popular Legacy card.
So. I'm not gonna lie. I went through all the gold cards and I saw like Spiritmonger and Pernicious Deed next to each other, and I was like, flashback to Apocalypse Standard. Like what?
Party like it's 1998.
I mean, Jordan, you don't even know Spiritmonger.
No, I have no idea.
Like, so Spiritmonger is a 6/6 for 5, a green, a black, 3 colorless. Has black regenerate and then green.
Green be, like changes colors
because why not? And that was a popular thing.
It was once in the running for best creature in Magic.
It was whenever. How's it? You think it counters for something too? Am I going crazy?
It got counters for if it dealt damage to a creature. So basically, yeah. if they like chump blocked right. it got bigger.
So it was just like it was literally like the like people played a, like you played a Spiritmonger and you just like stared at it and you were like, oh well, that sucks.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was way above the curve for the time. This is back when creatures weren't as good as they are now.
Weren't 6/6 for 5.
But now you look at it, they could probably print this at uncommon and be fine.
I don't know. It's a 6/6 for 5.
But that was the originator of the Rock deck when you had Pernicious Deed, you had Spiritmonger.
Yeah.
And you had,
oh, okay.
And yeah. it was just, but like seeing those two in the same set, it was just like a real big flashback. Just like, oh god.
Yeah. I mean, and I give Wizards props. You mentioned Pernicious Deed, and they actually used the original art on this, so that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Because awesome. I would have figured they would have used the. Like the what was it the Judge Foil art, which
well,
is kind of
they did the Judge promo art for the or it was a Grand Prix art for the Spiritmonger. They did that art as well.
Yeah, right. But they have the original art for Pernicious Deed and the new border, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I mean, and also speaking of, have you guys seen the original art of Spiritmonger? It's fucking terrible. it's pretty bad.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nostalgia forgives a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Edric, Spymaster of Trest, is showing up here again.
Yes,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, this is the first opportunity for for pack foil Edric. They had the Commander one,
yeah,
which was
so
kind of the crappy foiling.
Yeah, the foilings are a little bit different.
Right.
Something that I really like that they're reprinting here is a Vent Sentinel, and have a bunch of defenders. And there's actually like a defender maker, and there's also like the conspiracies that you can draft that make you get defenders. So you can just draft the defender deck and then draft all the Vent Sentinels and just kill people, which is what I really want to do the first time we draft this because I don't know, I just want to do that. It sounds like fun. What else do we have here?
So this is an interesting card that I just want to talk about real quick. Let me find it here. Sorry. Canal Dredger. This is one of the artifact creatures that messes with the draft. So Canal Dredger is a four. It's an artifact creature. 4 mana, 1/5. Draft it face up. Each player passes the last card from each booster pack to a player who drafted a card named Canal Dredger. So basically the last pick of every pack goes to the person who has this card. So that person ends up with all kinds of extra cards, which...
Could be the dregs, but could be something interesting.
Yeah, you know, you never know. I've gotten some pretty spicy, you know, last picks before, and now I get everybody's last picks, so...
That's pretty sweet.
It also has a tap ability of put target card from your graveyard on the bottom of your library, so... but that's mostly irrelevant.
Yeah, I really enjoy some of the cog work, the artifact creatures that affect the draft. That's going to be so much fun to actually draft with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Conspiracy is looking pretty sweet, most certainly.
Can I also just mention that I think there's a card in the set that's in the running now for my favorite flavor text ever, which is Grudgekeeper. Grudgekeeper is the black creature that says whenever players finish voting, each opponent who voted for a choice you didn't vote for loses 2 life. And the flavor text is, your defiance is noted.
Oh, God!
And
like,
then
I just want to be like the guy, I literally want to have like a quill pen like with an ink and just be like, and you voted against me? Hmm. Your defiance is noted.
It's amazing, actually.
It's insane, right?
Like, as a lover of flavor text, that's insane. I don't have a lot of opinions about reprints because I just this knowledge factor isn't there. Because
they're just new cards to him.
Yeah, seriously,
did you check out this sweet card?
Right, no,
Pernicious Deed.
Did you know there's a card you draw 3 and put 2 back? That's not so. But no. So I know what Brainstorm does, everybody that tweets me, like but the idea that like this gives me hope for the future of the game, the fact that Wizards is just like blowing all these reprints on a fun set. Means like the game's not dying soon, because if the game were seriously like at the end of its like creative like life, they would seriously just start reprinting these things in normal like blocks. So it feels good to just be like to know this game's going to be around a while longer.
Oh yeah, most certainly.
You know what I mean? That's a feel good to me.
Yeah. Also, something that has been popping up a lot on my Twitter is Phage the Untouchable is no longer a zombie. People seem to be really pissed off about that. So
it's now an avatar minion.
Avatar minion.
All right.
All right.
One last thing I just want to say. I like that they're printing cards that have never been foiled before. So a card like Ill-Gotten Gains, which has never had a foil, you can now pick up a foil.
Sulfuric Vortex in the new frame.
In the new frame, yeah, that's pretty cool. And also something like Victimize, which is kind of it's an uncommon from Urza's Saga, so obviously never had a foil.
Right.
I might actually put this in my cube now because it's got some sweet new art and it's now available in foil.
Yeah, so
there's a lot of cards that got the sweet new art. I was talking about the Elephant Guide. Like I love the art.
Yeah,
Elephant Guide
art's sweet. Like, Exploration art's really sweet.
Nature's Claim got a sweet new art.
Best, right?
Yeah. No...
Oh, Provoke's new art is insane too. I think we've mentioned that before, but it has like Flip a Flip or whatever his name is.
Oh yeah. Most certainly.
Are there
so.
No lands in the set?
There are lands. So there's no basic lands.
The basic land is replaced with a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are land cards.
Yes.
Okay.
There's Myrdid's Core, Quicksand, Paliano, the High City, and Reflecting Pool.
Okay. Because I didn't see any of those spoiled, and I guess I didn't look at the full spoiler clearly enough. But yeah. Cool.
So yeah, I mean, if you guys are interested in this and can get 8 people together, I mean, it's definitely worth it. It's not going to be like hard to find from what we were hearing now. So you should be able to find it and be able to get packs and draft it with your friends. And
I believe Fog is doing as they fire 8-man pods.
Yeah,
starting midnight on Saturday.
So that's pretty sweet.
And then after you're done having fun, you know maybe you've got some sweet foils.
Yeah,
there's actually a lot of like high dollar cards in this set.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
Foil power plus.
Yeah, when you're foil brainstorm, you get to buy another box conspiracy for free.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
I don't think it's
going to
be that expensive. But,
it's
so. I understand, but I don't think them being printed in the set and being foil, like, I don't
but
know.
But it's also an art that's never been foiled before.
That's true. That's
you
true.
EDH people, you're,
you know,
yeah,
nothing.
You're legacy folks.
I'm not a bastard.
Challenge.
We'll need that birth certificate and your medical record.
No, if you guys
and
want
a blood test of your father and mother.
I look exactly like my dad, so.
Well, then it could be your mother. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean, I've met the lady. Okay, sketchy. Oh.
So
sorry, Mama McCarl.
So moving on.
If you listen to this, I'm so sorry.
So that's pretty much everything that we really had for the community. Let's go ahead and we'll talk about what happened over the weekend competitive wise. So we had a couple of GPs and then, of course, the Star City game. Yeah, so a couple Space Jams, pardon me. And the Open Series in Indy, which none of us attended. I got asked like a billion times, like, hey, why aren't you guys at Indy? When I was playing at Fog on Saturday, I was like, I didn't want to go alone. I don't know what to tell you.
It is the time of year where we also, like, I know it's crazy, but there are things to do besides Magic. Unless you're Riley Curran.
Yeah, that's true.
I got nothing better to do.
I had to, like, buy a house or something.
That's weird.
Soccer was on.
I had to visit family on Sunday.
No.
Soccer was on.
Jordan, you were in another country.
I was in Canada. And I would not be back if it was not for Morgan McCarl.
That's true. I guided him home.
My phone didn't work, so I couldn't use Google Maps. So he texts me the step-by-step directions from the internet on how to get home to the border.
I was his Sherpa.
I really wish you would like send him in a circle for like 20 minutes. Just to see what you do.
Because you know what? I wouldn't want that to happen to me.
Turn left.
Circle the hotel nine times. Left. I don't know why we got to do that, but let's
turn
do it.
Left. And Jordan would have no idea the entire time.
So let's first, we'll take a look at the Open Series. And we'll take a look at Standard first. And we'll let's take a look here. And we will see that, you know, Chris Van Meter still likes to win. But unfortunately,
not enough to until he gets to the top eight.
Fell short at fourth place playing
Jug
Monsters.
All I do is win until top eight.
Yeah, that's
no matter what.
I wouldn't know about that.
Oh!
Sick burns.
Almost death of taxes, right?
Riley's right to shave. I don't know about that. Huh? Yeah,
it's weird. So, I just want him to win so bad every time. Like, this is back-to-back top eights, right? And I just want him to be able to shave. It's summer. Shit's got to be hot. Poor guy.
Do you see the awful picture of the top eight profile? Like, he had it, like, rubber banded together. Like, I get a feeling after a long day, he's just, like, wringing the sweat out of it.
He should have just had, like, puppy dog eyes. Like, please let me win.
Please. Please.
Just one time.
In this moment, I know that would absolutely change in the finals, but I would just concede to him for, like, community factor. It would be a good story. Now, in the moment, like, of course, me of all people is not conceding to anyone. I would concede to a child with cancer.
There would have to be, like special provisions. Like, you would have to do, like, the shaving or something. Right. Or, like, cut it off.
You get the first cut.
I'm pretty sure that would be... I would love if you were discussing the concession so that you get something out of it, and the judge just comes in and disqualifies you, and that's how CVM gets it.
Well, no, we'd both get disqualified if he's discussing it.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, CVM actually doesn't even get it either.
You know, the funniest part of the story is that Jordan be playing Relevant Magic in, like, the ninth or tenth round of an Open.
Wow.
The daggers. The trolls. The daggers.
Man.
He's got that smile on his face like he's done having a good time. He's just sad now.
It went away. Can we... So who won the tournament?
Guys, guess what hand motion Jordan's doing right now.
It's the wiping tears.
So, obviously...
they're so big!
Obviously, Van Meter didn't win, but the actual winner was Justin Crandall playing Naya Midrange, which is something that's kind of new, something that I've been wanting to kind of make in some form or another, and looks like someone beat me to it, which is fine, because I don't know how to build decks.
Three Ajahnis.
Three Ajahnis.
More importantly, notable 10th pick, Keening Apparition, is a three of in main deck.
That's been making a resurgence recently. That card, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of the format happens between enchantments right now.
And
I'm starting to realize that.
And
I love the Legacy guys just like, why would people play that card in the main deck?
And that card kills enchantments, last time I checked, so...
This is a deck that we talked about last week. It was kind of... You kind of look at it and you're like, oh man, Voyaging Satyr, why is he playing that? You
right.
Because he wants to have two of every color ever printed.
It's very similar to the list we talked about last week that just had just all the Planeswalkers. So, I mean, this appears to be, you know, maybe a tier one strategy.
Yeah, and I mean, it beat Jund Monsters, which is one of the best mid-range decks that's in the format right now. So that's pretty, you know, surprising. I didn't get to watch the finals, unfortunately, but I really like where this list is going, in all honesty. I've been playing Brave Naya for a long time, and it's still working pretty well for me. But, you know, if I were looking to move to a mid-range list, it'd probably be this at first. You know, I'm just test it out, have fun.
So, something I have to say is, so James Tennant took third with Red White Burn, and every deck around him is Monsters. How do you not win this? Yeah. This is your one and only job in Standard, is to beat Monsters, because they don't. How do you lose?
That's
I am
bad.
Disappointed, sir.
Did he actually lose to Monsters? Or?
Yeah,
he would have had to. Yeah,
that not Monsters or Naya Midrange, which either way, that neither decks great, interact with him like at all.
Hmm. Right. I mean, the best way that Midrange. Well, I mean, Midrange does have a pretty nice side. Naya Midrange pretty has a nice sideboard. They have Fiend Slayer, Paladins, and Unflinching
Paladin's,
Courage.
Paladin's rough.
And Unflinching Courage with a Johnny seems pretty nice. Oh wait, this is exactly what I actually need. Thank you, Johnny.
Yes, my five drop searching up my. The thing I needed on turn three. Definitely, I mean, it's good, but I don't know if it's always going to win games.
I don't.
Plus one. Oh, I wish I could do anything with this before I'm dead.
I guess I don't disagree with you, but hey, they work together. It's a thing.
I do like that. So the one thing that the Naya deck does have is Magma Spray. You see that on the board?
Yeah.
That's a pretty handy way of getting rid of Phoenixes.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here! I mean, granted, it's a really terrible flavor fail. Like, the Phoenix is like, I'm on fire! And it's like, now it's even hotter!
No, like, I'm really on fire, guys!
Like, oh, God!
Seriously, I'm not coming back from this one.
I'm
Sean's really... just like sitting there like, all right, turn back into a bird now. Wake up.
Just a pile of ashes. Wake up. Come on, man.
Come on, sleepy.
Come on. No, nothing? All right. The rest of the top eight was a lot of red, white, burn. It showed up, two times
in the top eight, three times in the top 16. Including 12th place.
Yeah.
Local player Timothy Alaric.
Yeah, congratulations.
Also, a.k.a. Beards McGee.
Beards McGee,
not
yes.
quite CVM level, but...
No. They did have a beard.
He's been mistaken for him more than once, so...
They did have a beard off, but he lost.
Yes.
Obviously. They
Tim is the only guy that can get into a beard off. Like, yeah. Think about the concept of what that would entail, and you would think about so many ridiculous scenarios, and then there's Tim in the middle of it. Like, oh, yeah, I was going to do a beard off. He, like, touched my beard, and we challenged, and, like, we had to fight. I don't know. It's weird.
Do you ever watch – this is a really – if you ever watch Full Metal Alchemist, there's the alchemist who was just, like, all muscles, and that's how he, like – when he interacted with people, he would just take his shirt off and start flexing, and then they would flex back. And that's what I assume the beard off is. They just, like, start, like, ah! And, like, hair starts growing even thicker in, like – I'm going Super Saiyan beard.
Now, one interesting list in this top 16 was Black White Humans, piloted by I assume Natalia Zaring. Athreos shows up as a one of. So hey, all those people that got that card,
you did it, Athreos.
You did it. Top 16. I'm proud of you, boy. I'm proud of you.
Now, what would you say is a better card at this point, Athreos or Farika?
I have willingly played a Farika in a constructed tournament. What does that tell you?
I guess Farika is better.
Okay, just checking.
I guess.
I wanted to point out the 10th and 11th place decks. They're both Esper control. And if you look at the list, they're exactly the same. Except Thomas Graves was playing an extra plane. So he's actually playing 61 cards in his main.
you would,
I mean,
Riley.
He had two identical lists, make 10th and 11th. That's something to look out for,
yeah,
at least. I mean, they didn't top 8, obviously, but it's right there,
If you're going to play Control, I think Esper is probably where you want to be at this point in time.
Right. So, I mean, those are obviously good lists. You had two players right on the cusp of top 8. So that's... It caught my eye because I've been looking for an Esper list to test, so...
We also have a Red-Black Devotion piloted by notable not-first-placeman Kent Ketter.
Notable bridesmaid, Kent Ketter.
Notable bridesmaid, Kent Ketter.
Notable Canada sweatshirt wearer. I'm assuming he's gone to the place you have.
I would assume he's been there at least once.
And this is sort of the list that probably isn't exactly Jerry Thompson's list, but something that he has been working on, notably on Twitter and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's not exactly Jerry Thompson's list. This looks more like the list that... both Michael Jacob
and
Cedric Phillips were streaming a couple weeks ago. Jerry's list stands out because it actually does not play Fanatic Amogus, surprisingly enough, and it plays...
the Phoenix?
What's...
Flame Wreath Phoenix?
Flame Wreath Phoenix.
So the Phoenix that's also really on fire?
Yes. But that one doesn't die to Magma Spray, so...
No.
But two Magma Sprays.
Two. If you
put it really, really
on fire.
If you
throw a lot of lava on it, then it's gone.
Yeah.
What type of,
you gotta
like,
double it up for that guy.
Shitty Phoenixes. Jesus.
How do we fix this problem? Well, I mean, a little bit of lava worked before, so...
More lava.
Yeah, but the list is notable because I think this is the direction that the Red Devotion decks are going. You're not seeing the Red-White Devotion as much as Red-Black now. And the black is mostly just for a Dreadbore and ultimate price on the board.
Yeah, and that's not shocking. I imagine that they probably want more ways to interact with Planeswalkers, you know. And, Chain of the Rocks really doesn't do that.
Right.
I still don't like these lists very much. These lists, like, if you kill their first few threats, like...
They can't. Hard for them.
They run right off the top of their library, and nothing besides Stormbreath Dragon is worthwhile. Like,
right.
Like, if you're just able to survive the initial onslaught, then they have slow, like inefficient removal that they have to only play on their turn. I'm not a fan of this list. I understand why people play it, and I do see the joy of sighting in Rakdos Return when you have Nykthos going for 9.
Fireball!
But...
I'm a sucker for the Planeswalker voice.
But I don't know. I don't like these lists.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that's standard.
I am not devoted to it.
That's the... Ha ha. So before we get to Legacy, let's talk about the two space jams that happened.
Noted.
So first we will discuss Space Jam Manchester. where Fabrizio Antieri was the overall winner. And this was actually block constructed, so another format you don't necessarily care about.
When he played Corsairs and the Corsair of Krufix, and then the Sylvan carried it, and then Elspeth.
He was playing Bug Control.
Yes.
So Sylvan carried it, and Corsair playing all those, and Prognostics.
And the Prognostics Sphinx, and the Thoughtseize. He was playing the Thoughtseize card.
Those kids with their Thoughtseize.
Now, there are some interesting decks that didn't show up at the Pro Tour. There was a Mono Black Devotion list that showed up, which was interesting. Also, Mono Black Aggro was in the
top 8. Mono Black's interesting? What year is it?
But in the Pro Tour, you didn't see those Devotion decks.
But they were everywhere. The aggressive Devotion list and other Devotion lists. If you read any write-up, and I'm not trying to shit on you here, Morgan, though I kind of am. If you read any of the Pro Tour write-ups, they all crushed that deck on the way to top 8.
Sure.
So it may have done better here, but what?
Talking to the mic.
I'm talking to the mic. Mike's talking to the mic.
No.
Mike and Mike in the morning.
We also have some
Wovotion.
Right, said Fred.
At the Space Jam, they had White Wed Wovotion. My name is Morgan McCall. I'm the host. I can't
too
talk.
Sexy for my shirt.
that's. That was the good old Space Jam in Manchester.
I just want to mention the winner Fabrizio Antieri just won a GP last month. So he's in the last year he has won 2 GPs, finished second, and finished third in 4 separate GPs. So that's pretty impressive for a guy that I really didn't know anything about. But apparently he's pretty good.
To him. I think this block constructed is unique because there just isn't a good board wrath that's in the set. So I think taking things from this format in the next rotation will be very important if they don't print another good board wrath, like another 4-mana or even 5-mana board wrath.
Man, let me tell you how excited I am about that because I have 6 Prognostic Sphinx just randomly. I want that card to spike like nobody's business.
That's... Could
it
be
went
what
to $2. Yay!
And that would cash those sons of bitches out.
So I love the fact that Riley just looks at me and just goes holds up 6 fingers. He's like nice investment.
Don't have to talk, Riley. You know that. You don't have to sign to us your thoughts. You can just make fun of me. Everybody else does.
And then there is a limited GP in Sao Paulo. It was a team limited GP. 3 people won it. That's what else do you
3
want?
3 Brazilian guys won
congratulations.
The Brazilian GP.
The cards of the tournament were Golden Hind, Servant of Tyramet, Fearsome Temper, Rouse the Mob, and 2 gods. Iris got a victory and Kraus got a storm. Cards are good.
That sounds like 6 cards, Morgan.
Fuck Wizards. I don't know what to tell you.
There has to be a winner for number 1. They can't be co-champions here. Do you think this is a spelling bee?
And then I would say Karano's God of Storms.
Oh, look at you with your references.
Whoa! Yes, 2 people co-won a spelling bee.
I mean, 3 people co-won a GP, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly what I said, actually.
That was the only way.
I don't find limited GPs interesting at all. Sometimes it's okay to watch a draft, but watching them play sealed at all is just awful.
Yeah.
And I don't like block very much either. I haven't enjoyed pretty much any block, but this block specifically, you just have board stalls that are just, mind-numbing. I'm going to scry 3 and attack you for 3.
I will say...
You're at 17. 6 more times we're going to do this.
Team limited events, awesome to play in.
Oh, no.
Not so
sure.
Awesome to watch.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah. So that leads us back to Indianapolis. And that's what kind of Riley on, because he won it. So that's pretty cool. Ever the modest person, Riley Curran. He was playing elves.
Surprise.
Shock.
Yeah. And, defeated a fairly, pretty stacked top 8, in all honesty.
The best
we
top
have,
before
we
Riley,
have Matt Hoey, we have Todd Anderson, we have Stephen Mann. And Joe Bernal, which are all well-known names, and I'm sure the other guys in there were probably pretty good to have to get in the top 8, obviously. They're lesser known, that's why I didn't say them.
I had an okay friend that won one of these once. It was all right. So
know, whatever.
Oh, we're sharing the same mic because no one is good enough to sit next to us.
Wow.
Wow.
So anyway. They kind of crapped all over you in Top 8. If you go back and watch the coverage, just so you know, prepare for sadness.
Yeah, that's what I told them, a lot of people tell me that, hey, they were just saying you couldn't possibly ever win.
Like, game one seriously was like, well, he lost and he was supposed to. Games two and three, not going to be much better.
We're talking about the finals, right, Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just clarifying.
Yeah. You were in the finals with Joe Bernal playing Esper Stoneblade. Now, traditionally, how is that matchup?
I think it's usually favorable for me, but game one, he had a lot more hate than they usually would.
Mm-hmm.
So I was worried about that without having access to my discard or hate cards, like Sylvan Library, that kind of thing.
Right.
So
that's good.
It's not bad.
So I have a question for you, Riley. There was an interesting play that you made in game one where you, or I guess it was game two, where you Cabal Therapied and named Flush the Storm.
Yes.
He ended up having two Force Wells. No, three and like wells. I know that you wouldn't just, you know, name a random card like Flush the Storm. Like, what was the reasoning behind that? Because I was wondering
myself.
Like, they were kind of like the commentators were kind of shitting on you for that, but. I mean, obviously there was a reason why you named that. So, I mean,
so there's actually a couple reasons going. I can do that, but I thought he had Flush Storm. Like, he was playing with his lands in a way before Therapy resolved. I just thought he had Flush Storm, and I thought he would still have it in post board because I think it's pretty good against my deck. He counters Glimpse, Natural Order, Gates on Zenith. The cards that actually matter in my deck.
So the way he tapped the one land made you think Flusterstorm, not Brainstorm?
Yeah, the way he was fiddling his lands made me think he was playing Flusterstorm. And if it was like a Swords of Plowshares, I don't want to take that anyway. And if it's Force of Will, like the card he has in his hand, I don't particularly care if he's able to still cast that after my Therapies, because he still has a 2-4 himself to cast a spell.
Right.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that you had a reason for doing that. But the commentators made it seem like it was like this huge blunder. So it was interesting. I just wanted to get your perspective on that.
To be fair, I was not in the best mental state when I made that top 8. I was pretty tired.
You won it at midnight, so you
was there any reason for that? Were you like up really late the night before doing something?
For some reason, I decided to stay up till 4:30 in the morning cubing the night before.
Yeah,
apparently that's the secret to winning these things.
By the way, my top 8, my win, stayed up to 3 or 4. Cubing the night before. Apparently, the only way to do well on one of these is to cube and then get zero sleep.
We need to do.
There
a study
you have
now.
It, folks. We cracked the code.
We need to do a study now. You like, you know, this right? Like the next SCG Open. Like, I'm just staying up till 4 in the morning, and I'm going to do terrible, and I'm going to be really upset at everybody. Like, that's how those things go for me.
Fair enough. Now, Jordan, I know you're planning on doing an interview with Riley. So if you, I'm sure any kind of questions specifically about the list that Riley plays will be answered then, and maybe some strategy about it. We do appreciate Riley doing that for us. And now he has to because it's on the podcast. I'm not editing
it. He has to because I'm driving him home.
We'll also find out what Riley's secret crush is.
Ooh.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to Tiger Beat at your end step edition.
No, you know, in all seriousness, though, like, if you're interested in getting into Legacy and, like, interested in hearing, like, someone that's really, really good at a deck, talk it through, listen to that little bit.
At a deck. You're not even good at the format. You're good at a deck.
No.
Fuck you, Riley.
He plays a ton of Legacy, and he's very good at the format, but he's... absolutely wonderful, the Elves deck, right?
Yeah, I can honestly watch Riley play Elves for like an hour.
And that's what I'm saying, is if you want to look
in one match.
That's game one.
If you want to look into the format, listen to that bit. It'll be really good.
Yeah, most certainly. So that's something exciting to kind of look forward to. Another thing I wanted to point out is that Merfolk made top 16 in 11th place. So also Wastelands. So it's super cheap. Just pointing that out.
Is this list playing Chalice of the Void?
Yes.
I want to ask you about that, because I did some playtesting, trying to get ready for the Invitational, and played against some Merfolk tonight, and was playing Chalice and no Wastelands. And I felt like the matchup was a lot easier, at least, now playing Bug, I should say Shardless Bug, the mana base is dreadful. Like, you're just playing all the non-basics. Like,
you're also playing a bunch of cards that do not cost one mana.
Well, that's also true. But, like, I Wasteland is good against me. I think Wasteland's really good against most of the format,
mm-hmm.
like, still. And I don't know. I did not, each game, especially the games where he had, like, a Chalice in his hand, like, I was just like, all right.
Yeah, I think the Chalice Merfolk deck could still play Wasteland. I don't see a reason why I wouldn't. But I think it's at its worst, the Chalice of the Void Merkwork deck against your deck, because you're playing spells that do not care about Chalice of One, which is why they play the card. And they can't punish you for playing Wasteland, or they can't probably play Stifle in their deck because they're playing Chalice of the Void, so they can't punish your mana base that way.
Well, yeah, interesting to see.
I felt underwhelmed by it again, but it could just be the matchup that I had. Whereas, even if it didn't matter,
if you're playing like Bug Delver, your deck had Ponder, Brainstorm, Delver Seeker, Shaman.
Thoughtseize, Deathrite Shaman, Brainstorm, but having Abrupt Decay means that you can just unlock it pretty much whenever you want to. So,
And not to mention that the top eight for this this Legacy was pretty open. You even see things like Manaless Dredge show up, which is pretty sweet to see. So,
how's that matchup for you?
I have no idea.
So I've played it once as the Elves player. It's really fun when you go turn one Deathrite Shaman, turn two Ooze, turn three Guy's Cradle. You're like, you don't ever do anything. It's the best. It's the
greatest. Yeah, if you live the dream like Jordan Kennedy does on a frequent basis, yes, sure.
I also got the tip off of the game, the round before, that my next round opponent was Manaless Dredge. So I won the die roll, and I was like, yeah, I'll draw. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'll be on the draw. And he was just like, that's not fun, man.
Like, what an asshole.
Yeah, because Kirk goes, oh, that's Manaless Dredge, you want to be on the draw. And of course, I'm really bad at anything that's not like, does my hand do 20 points of damage? Okay, no, ship it. I'm like, why? And he's like, so we can't discard. I'm like, oh, you're a genius. So I don't even know why I'm good.
Don't tell him that. He doesn't need more of that.
Now, Mike, you said that you were playing Shardless Bug. There is a ninth place list that did play Shardless.
Yeah, I was going to take a look at it. I've been really tuning. I will say another local Legacy guy, Jesse Liu, was the one who tipped me off to a pretty sweet list. And I got to say, Toxic Deluge, oh, God.
The card is amazing,
Loving this card. How do you feel about Toxic Deluge?
I am not a fan.
Can't imagine why.
It just kills all my guys, including Progenitus, which is usually my plan against the Toxic Deluge
decks. Oh, God! Do I have more than 10 life? Get...
This one has two of them on the sideboard, so yeah, it seems to be like the way to go. So I just wanted to point that out, that I don't think this list has shown up a lot recently, but it's nice to see it kind of show up again from its previous prominency and previous legacy.
I think it's gonna. I mean, the Miracles was pretty heavy for a while, and I feel like that. I still can't tell if that's a good matchup for myself or not. So it's not fun to play. I feel like Abrupt Decay is awesome, and then everything else is terrible. So I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, you should never test against Elliot, because he always has whatever card you don't want to see.
So does Riley, who is who I tested against. Riley's the one who, Stone Cold just, blind flipped a 3 after a counterbalance to counter Liliana, and then also left a 4 up, purposely with no other way to mix the top to counter
a
Chase.
I saw that,
just like... What? And he's like, oh, that's the only card he loses to. And I'm just like, you're so much better than me.
Yep. So, that was Legacy. Again, congratulations, Riley, on your win. And thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's all really the construct stuff we had to talk about over the weekend. So let's go ahead and we'll kind of go into the end part of the show, where we'll wrap up a few things here. So... over the weekend, there was a bit of a tragic situation that actually happened with one of our prominent community members, Tony Pagliocco, one of the Wizards employee, his daughter, Myra, Mariah, was actually hit by a car, hit and run sort of situation. And she's, has extensive damage to spinal cord, legs, things like that, and is going to have to go through a lot of medical procedures, a lot of physical therapy. Obviously, a very costly sort of thing, and since the driver that did strike her did kind of run off, there really isn't anyone else to, kind of go after in this sort of situation for insurance help and things like that. And obviously... insurance will cover some, but this look like it's going to be something that's very costly. And Tony has been a very prominent person in the Magic community. Dave is actually the one that kind of brought it up with the cast. A lot of people personally.
Yeah, a lot of my personal friends kind of. I mean, this pretty much just blew up my Facebook feed and my Twitter feed when it happened. I think it was Saturday
Yeah, it was on the 29th of May.
Right. A lot of personal friends. I don't know Tony or his daughter personally. I've never met them before, but a lot of personal friends know them. Just, you know, talk about how great of a guy he is. And just a lot of people that I respect in the community have really kind of, right, you know, showed their support.
Yeah, and people like Brad Nelson did like a 12-hour stream on Sunday to kind of raise awareness of this. They actually have a Give Forward campaign that you can donate to, and we'll actually have the link in the show notes for you guys. So if you do want to donate to it, you definitely can. We as a show are going to also donate to this cause because, you know, as a community, these are sort of the things that kind of tie us together, and, you know, despite what kind of, you know, rivals you have in the community or what kind of enemies or how you think that you are in the community, you know, we play Magic because we want to be around people and we want to help them. So I think this is a great time to give back. Even if you don't know, you know, these people personally, I think it's something that you can definitely take a look at. And even if you don't have any money to give, please share it on your social media websites, on your Twitter, on your Facebook, so that we can raise this money. They're already actually at 30 grand. Which is, you know, amazing.
Oh, yeah,
amazing, to say the least.
The goal is 75,000.
75,000,
right, and it's only been up for a couple of days. So, I mean, yeah, that's right. Amazing. This is something that really struck a chord with me personally because I have a daughter. She's obviously not 17 yet, but, you know, just having a child, like, I can't even imagine going through the situation. So, you know, it's something that I, you know, personally I really wanted to do something to help.
It's an easy way to make a difference, too. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it from your laptop, and you can actually change somebody's life.
Yeah, most certainly.
So, right.
If Reading Rainbow can raise almost over $3 million in a couple of days,
right?
Seriously, we can help fund this family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, 30 grand's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, and that's great. I mean, that's what makes the Magic community just so awesome. This is why we do this.
Right.
Yeah, honestly, take, like, the money for F&M this week and just, like, give it to this. You know what I mean? Or, like,
yeah,
whatever, like... Help out.
Yeah, and
every little bit helps.
Yeah, if you think, like, you know, you just have a dollar, what have you, anything will help. Mm-hmm. So if that's all you have, that's all you have, you know, please do give. This is a worthy cause. You know, if you only donate to something once a year or what have you, this is definitely where you want your money to go. Yeah. So on a bit of a brighter note, there are some events this weekend that we do want to bring up. So there is a TCG tournament in Indy. If you do want to go to that, it's a 5K, right?
It's a 5K standard event. Yep.
Yep. So, which actually ties in, you know, get your points to go to the Invitational, which was announced in Indy. So definitely get your points to that. There's also a PTQ this weekend in Canton. Lovely, lovely Canton.
For the battle event or whatever it is, the awesome event hall that we always talk about.
Battelle's
event. Oh, it's a champion event.
Champion.
Center.
I don't know what the battle. But champion.
Where's Battelle at?
That. Either way, they make food for you. You get awesome old people chairs.
Please, I mean,
get the hamburger.
Sounds fantastic.
Oh, it's a bingo parlor, so the seats are like a double wide. It's the best,
man. Every time you guys talk about this place, I just see Mike's eyes light up. I've never actually been there before, but like it just sounds like it's like the best place ever.
So the pizza is a trap, but the hamburgers are really, really good. Get the hamburger, not the pizza.
Yeah. It's so it's again, it's at the Champions Event Center. That's 340 Mississippi Avenue, Southeast, North Canton, Ohio. So, you know, please check it out. It's run really well. I think Universal Comics is the
the owner of
shop.
Universal Comics is a nice guy.
Right.
He's crazy as all get out.
He's super intense.
Like, he's the most, like, everything that he does is like you guys want a draft? We got 8-man draft firing.
Exactly.
But, like, you can't help but just get pumped. And he's a great guy. And, like, he... You know, much like Ryan down here for Comic-Con, like, when he gets large people for his events, that guy gets real, like, choked up, literally. He's, like, right. He's really happy, that he's able to bring a lot of people together, and those events are always awesome.
I remember the first time we went to that PGQ, and we walked in, and he handed his red sheets. He goes, "You guys haven't filled out red sheets yet. Here's your red sheets. Make sure you pay me." And we're like, we didn't know how to act, and we were like, what?
I've played in that man's store before a couple times, and always like that. Always.
Oh gosh, and it was great.
The first time is disarming, but every time after that, you kind of look forward to it. Like,
yeah.
I remember the first time I complained, and then the second and third time you're like, yeah, nobody else does this. What? Every other store sucks. Like, he's great.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Kevin. He is he works with the TO that organizes up there. He's a fan of the show, so he always lets us know when these things are coming up. I think that I know that Mike is maybe trying to go up there.
I will be there.
You will be there. I will try to be there as well, even though it's modern and I don't know how to play my deck. I have pod. I don't fucking know what I'm doing though.
You just kill him.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
kill him.
yeah. That's generally the plan, yeah.
All right. You were confused.
Sweet. I'll pick Riley's brain here. I won't wear off the cast, so he'll give me some tips or just fucking troll me because it's Riley. Who cares?
I'll save that for my interview. Never mind.
All right, yeah, there you go. So definitely go there or to Indy again for the TCG player. That's the other big thing that's kind of going on this weekend. But if you do see us at the PTQ, come out over, say hi to us. If you want us to sign any lands or anything like that, just let us know. If you want to tell us that our show sucks.
One time anything he's hot shit.
Listen, it was important to me.
I'm famous, damn it.
Yeah, Morgan has the picture that I took on my phone hanging up in his apartment. He's just like, just can't sleep without it now.
Listen,
to be fair, I have a business card signed by all three original members of the podcast.
That's true. Not this guy.
I'm not teening that podcast. I'm not teening it.
So,
Brandon Hunt has our playmat signed by all of us.
That's
not
true.
By me.
Except by Mike, yeah.
Oh, man.
So the value is actually worse than Mike had signed.
Now, for the PT, you just want to point it out. There is an event set up on Facebook that you can look for it under.
I'll link to that event in the show.
Yeah, perfect. And then just to let you guys know, registration is 8:30 to 9:45 a.m. And it's $30 cash, or 32 credit. But
and this is
that's
the one
waste
that
$2.
Always goes quicker than we think, too.
Yeah,
these guys like we're out there. We've eaten by the time we thought the event should be over.
Yeah, and like so, it's modern. Like
you can tell how many times we top 8 of these events.
Yeah, it's
we're always done it. Oh.
And it's for Honolulu.
It's also
come
by
on.
Swenson's.
So. It's also by Swenson's.
Morgan likes Swenson's a lot more than like I think even Mike likes Swenson's.
Untrue. I don't think that's factual. It might be true. I feel that you're a bit more subdued about it because you're used to it.
Yeah, it's like a side grade to Sonic. Like that's.
I'm gonna start quoting Bane again. You merely adopted the Swenson's.
I was born in it.
Molded by it. Actually, my shape probably is molded by it.
How do you get fat by looking at it?
Body by hamburger.
Oh, and of course, something we have to note about it is Empire Cards is going to be there. They're going to be one of the
and
vendors.
And they're our sponsors.
They are
buy
a sponsor.
All their singles there.
Please.
Buy everything from them.
They will be stocked on
Carl
modern singles.
Carl is a madman.
Do it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you
want
to sell cards to Carl, he will buy them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, buy,
is
sell,
that what vendors
whatever.
Do?
Yeah. So we want to, of course, want to thank him for sponsoring us, and we'll be up there this weekend to thank him personally.
Do you know if he'll have Conspiracy on hand?
I would be shocked if he didn't,
yeah,
in honesty.
Yeah, because this is a cash cow, right?
I mean, in honesty, the prizes for this event do mention Conspiracy being part of the prize package, so I'm sure that he'll also have Conspiracy on hand. So
how good are individual packs of Conspiracy? Like, you know what I mean?
How good are they?
Well, no, I mean, like, do you want 4 packs of Conspiracy? Because, like, obviously the set's drafted. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Like,
this isn't really
well,
like a set that you want to just crack packs
right, that's
for.
What I'm saying. It's like, that's what I'm saying. Is if it's in the prize structure and you're like, top 16 through 32 get 4 packs of Conspiracy, do you really, like, is that good? Like,
I think you know just save them up and then you draft.
Yeah.
No, yeah, sure.
You could Voltron your friends together to have, like, 12 packs?
No, sure.
Packs?
No, I think like Winchester draft or something. No, totally.
I like how adding packs to a pile is Voltron. Is that what this is? Voltron Force Assemble.
No, like, you made Modern a Masters, you were never sad to crack a Modern Masters pack, but like with this, it seems like you would.
Oh, I've been sad to crack a Modern Masters pack many
yeah.
times.
If you paid for it, absolutely, but yeah. Anyway,
but,
sorry. I just...
But no, yeah, again, thank you to Empire Cards for being our sponsor and for being awesome, and we'll see you this weekend. And then, you know, we definitely want to thank our listeners, of course, for tuning in. You know, stay tuned and keep an eye on the website for the Riley Curran interview if you do want to listen to some sweet, sweet Riley Curran in Legacy. And
you do.
Yeah, 100%. Clearly, 100%.
It's debatable at best.
No, hardly. And... I believe that's everything for this week, so we will, of course, want to thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.